Time for our weekly session with the Northwest Minnesota Arts Council. And we have a special guest on the phone from East Grand Forks. Jean O'Neill joins us. Hi, Jean. How are you?
Hi, Ron. I'm pretty good today.
Yeah, the winter has been very nice, hasn't it, considering what could have happened over the past 2 or 3 months.
Well, yeah, the only complaint I have, which is not a major one, is that I really like to cross-country ski, and there's almost not enough snow. But now there actually is, so
yes.
That's okay.
Yeah, we still have maybe another month and a half of winter, so that's good. Well, Jean, thank you so much again for joining us. I appreciate that. And Mara Whitman, the director of the Arts Council, suggested that we talk. And if you wouldn't mind, Jean, could you give a little background on yourself, where you grew up?
Well, I grew up in central Iowa in Ames, and which is, you know, very similar to here in many ways. The winters aren't quite so cold and not quite so long, but otherwise kind of the Midwestern feel is pretty similar. But we came up here in 1986 for a job that Tom got at UND and looked all over the place. We wanted to find a rural spot and ended up in Minnesota, on the Minnesota side. We live by Mallory, which some people know where that is.
Sure.
On Highway 2. There used to be the old Mallory elevator, but now that's gone. But
yeah.
Mallory's still there. So.
Yeah. So you're a farm girl then from Iowa?
Well, not really a farm girl, but I grew up in the country, but
okay.
Just a little ways out of town, and we had a little woods. And so I grew up playing in the woods and, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
We kind of wanted that too.
Okay, so you moved to northern Minnesota to raise your family and work and live. Let's talk about your involvement in music, Jean, if I could. You perform, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but when did you first realize you had a strong interest or love for music?
Oh, well, long, long ago, my parents used to go to an international folk dance group, and they used to take us when we were little, and I particularly, I guess, of all of us, really liked the music and the dancing, that the circles and the just the people being together, I really liked that. So then when I was a young adult, I kind of sought that out. And then I found some groups that actually used live music. And those tend to be a little bit more specific type groups. Started going up to a place in Wisconsin that was called Folklore Village, and they would have live bands. And they kind of specialized in Scandinavian dancing and music, although they did other things too.
Mm-hmm.
But then I discovered the Appalachian, the North American style of fiddling and banjo and that kind of thing. And that's been where we've been focusing ever since that. And along the way, I learned to play some instruments. So now we do our live music and dance.
Did you have any formal training in playing an instrument?
I was terrible. I was really, really bad. You wouldn't believe it. I tried to play Happy Birthday for my dad on the song flute, and he's like, so what was
that? What was that again?
This is his birthday, and he still couldn't recognize his Happy Birthday. And I was second to last chair in the clarinet. I was terrible, and so I thought that I couldn't play music. I thought that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I discovered at one of these folk festival things, somebody just handed me a penny whistle, which is kind of like a little flute, only it's simpler, way simpler to play than the song flute or the recorder. But I found that I could just pick the tunes out.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, you know, you're really good at that. I thought, wait a minute, I'm a terrible musician. And they said, well, not if you're if you're learning by ear, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So then I realized that I could play music. I just couldn't read music was the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, you know, make the connection between the notes on the page and where my finger was supposed to go. So ever since then, I've been a folk musician that learns by ear, and apparently I'm good at that.
That's great. Well, as you moved from Iowa to Minnesota then, and you were raising your family with your husband, how did you become involved in performing in Northwest Minnesota?
Well, we were in a group in Iowa. That's how we met. We were both members of a clogging group, which is Appalachian style step dance,
mm-hmm.
With fiddle and banjo music going along with it. And we both, that's where we met each other. And so we were doing some performing then as part of this group, and then playing music together, obviously. And then when we came up here, we wanted to have a group like that. So we tried to start one. And part of that has to do with performing, because it's a participation thing, but when you want people to know what you're doing, it's good to go out and do some demonstrations, I would call it, more than performance, exactly. We're not like stage performers, really, although we do that, and we do play at fairs, and people like the live music, so then they want you to come and play. And so that turns into performance, although what we do really is more geared towards, it's just folk music, well, not just, that's a bad word to say, but it's folk music that is more geared towards participation, really, than performance, but we do a lot of performing, actually, because people really do like that music that you don't hear so much anymore. So, and with our daughter, too, we have four children, but she's the one that really got into this kind of music with us. She's a really, really good fiddler now. And,
well, I saw her perform with you at Chautauqua this summer, this late summer.
Yes, she's really quite, well, she grew up with it. She's the lucky one that actually grew up with it right there and started playing when she was seven and started dancing, and she just part of her language.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Chautauqua is held every late summer in, the Red Lake Falls area at the old
Hewitt
Crossing
Park.
Treaty Park. Yeah. And it honors the French tradition and the music of the French heritage, and the O'Neills were there. I did see you there. You did a great job. I was going to ask you, Gene, now, how did you become involved with the Northwest Minnesota Arts Council, and how have they helped you in your efforts to perform?
Actually, they've helped us enormously over the years in that we would occasionally apply for grants to bring a special group in. If we wanted to have somebody come from farther away that we couldn't afford to pay them, we would do special events through them. And I myself had gotten a development grant, a small development grant, to learn some other forms of step dance, which mostly included going up to Winnipeg and learning some dancing from the Red River dancers up there, the Ensemble Folklorique de la Rivière Rouge, they call themselves, and also from the Morris, the English, there's an English dance group up there, and they do some English clogging, so I used this grant to learn, to have some special sessions with some different people to learn some dancing that I didn't know already. Then recently, though, Our group is called North Country Fiddle and Dance, that we have monthly dances where anybody can come and learn, easily learn, simple folk dances that are regional and from our country, circles and squares and mixers and long ways reels and so on. But we've been holding this dance for years and years and years, but the rents have been gradually kind of creeping up, and then we recently moved over to the East Grand Forks Eagles, where the rent was triple what we'd been paying, and we couldn't use the place we were using anymore for various reasons. So suddenly we were faced with a rent that we couldn't afford, and Mara said, well, why don't you apply for a legacy grant? And I thought, oh, for the whole season? She said, yeah, you can, because before, the grants that we could apply for were more like a one sort of an event.
Sure.
But to apply for the whole season was something that I was able to do with the legacy grant, also because it has a lower match. You don't have to match it with such a high amount, so we could actually afford to do it. So this last whole season has been sponsored by that grant and the Arts and Cultural Heritage Legacy Grant, and I'm going to apply, hopefully, to get some funding for this next season, too, because we really want to keep the group going.
Yeah.
And it's not a club or anything. I'm just speaking to the people that might be listening. It's just you can come once if you want. You can come every time if you want. You can stop in. We have donations at the door, so you don't have to pay a lot if you just want to check it out. And then if you really have a good time, you can put a few more dollars in the hat. But we have people that come just occasionally, and we have people that come every time if they can. So,
well, if you would, Gene, could you give me a contact address to find out more about the group?
I have email that people can.
Okay.
And people can be on a list too if they want to get an email message about it. Just oneil@rrv.net.
oneil@rrv.net.
Right.
Very simple. When you perform, Gene, you and your husband and your daughter, what are some of the comments you hear from people that come to listen?
Well, a lot of people just say, "Oh, I just love that music. It just makes me happy." Or, but and one sometimes we'll have people come up and they'll say, one person said, "Oh, that tune you were playing. My grandfather used to play that tune," and I, you know, they'll say things that they just brings memories back to them. And
yeah,
It's very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People just seem to really respond.
And when you perform, too, you wear clothing that reflects your music, don't you?
Sometimes. It depends on the situation.
Okay.
At Chautauqua, you certainly do, because that's a historical setting, and
mm-hmm.
so we dress accordingly. So we have kind of our hodgepodge of things. Well, a couple of years ago, we played in southern Minnesota down at Pipestone. We played for a Civil War reenactment, which was a first for us. And but they were asking us, well, where did you get your Civil War repertoire? And we said, well, actually, most of the tunes we play are from that era or before that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're old tunes, and they're just part of our repertoire. But they're also part of the current fiddler's repertoire, because they're folk tunes and they don't go away.
Sure.
So a lot of the tunes were just tunes we already knew, but we had to learn a few that were specific.
And again, for more information about Jean and her husband, Jean O'Neill of East Grand Forks, and their performances, you can contact them at oneil@rrv.net. Jean O'Neill of East Grand Forks, thank you so much for sharing your time and thoughts today. We appreciate that.
Hey, Ron, could I mention one more thing?
You betcha.
If we have a moment. I'm also part of a new art shop, an art co-op in East Grand Forks, which is being sort of helped along by the Regional Arts Council here, Northwest Regional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Riverwalk Artists, and we just opened in December. I'm also an artist, a visual artist,
okay,
by the way. And we just opened, and we're in the Riverwalk Center by across from the theater there,
mm-hmm.
the movie theater. And we have a little event coming up on February 2nd, which is going to be kind of an open house with some sort of art that's geared towards Valentine's Day. So if
really?
Anybody's looking for a special Valentine, they could stop in at the Riverwalk Center and see what's going on for the first couple of weeks in February.
Well,
so,
great. That's February 2nd.
I mentioned that.
Yeah, and that's in downtown East Grand Forks.
Right.
At the Riverwalk Center, that co-op store.
Right.
All right, very good. Jean, thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of our winter.
Thank you.
And hopefully more cross-country skiing for you, too.
Yeah, a few more inches would be good. But.
All right. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you.